the key of B saved. It's the sweetest music this side of heaven. And we're thankful, Jesus, that we can have a part in fulfilling your destiny on the Central Coast. For each one who's here, for why we are here, we ask God that you bless in a very special way. We speak, as we did earlier, we speak healing, Father, to those who are in need of healing right now in the name of Jesus. Whether it be outside healing or emotional healing, you are still the God who heals. And in Jesus' name, we invite you right now, Jesus, to touch us at our point of need and to bless us. We pray you've accepted our praise as we have lifted up our songs to you, Lord. And now we listen to what you would say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go back in time, may we? The year? 1947. Thank you, guys. You may get an Academy Award for this. Okay. You can just leave it down, whatever. Thank you. That's okay. That's cool. That's good. You did your job. Okay. The year is 1947.
Neil.
Dad. I'm doing fine. What? I know. Thank you. Send them down. Quickly. Well, I appreciate it anyway. I know things are pretty tough, but the thought's what matters. Ah, great. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm sure I will. Now, I'm 13 years old. Wow, you do rap them good. 13 years old. Oh, you put the rocks in there again? Ah. Socks. This has got to be better. I dislike this. Now, what you just saw is what God does, believe it or not, but according to his word, when we give him these gifts. Somebody says, well, how can God do that? I thought he was God. Well, that is because he is God. Because he is God and we've been created in his image, what we do, like feel, like have emotion, we weep, we can cry, we get tired, we get thirsty, we get hungry. It's the same with God because we've been created in his image. And it is in his image we have been created. The reason I can say what I say is this. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. But in replying to Jesus, a body you have prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Now, this is God receiving gifts from people, and he says, I'm just not pleased. In Psalm 51:16, it said, you do not delight. And look at the word delight. You don't delight in sacrifices, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken in a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Now, to translate this into 21st century language, it would be something like this. God says, I don't want that dollar that you give. I want the person behind the dollar. And I don't want the hour that you logged in worship. I want this to carry on through. And the word that when I got my presents, and this is a true story, I was so disgusted. I disliked what happened. Well, the Bible uses that word. God says, I dislike the offerings that you are giving. Which leads us to our topic today, which is, did Jesus get what he wanted for Christmas? You know, I think that one of the great sins that we Christians commit is we get so wrapped up in the tinsel and in the wrapping paper that we really, and I know you say, well, I didn't forget Jesus, but how many of us actually vocalized that this is his birthday? We know it, but that's good. Didn't expect you to answer, but that's cool. But one of my granddaughters, 8 years old, went to school right before they were dismissed for the holiday, and she was trying to explain to two girlfriends about Jesus' birthday. After all, it's his birthday. And they said, no, it's not. It had nothing to do with Jesus. it's got to do with presents and gifts and things. And the little girl said, no, it's the birthday of Jesus. And they didn't push her with their hands, but with their words, they pushed her so hard that she came home, and her parents said the next day she did not even want to go to school because of the ridicule for, and this was an 8-year-old girl who was trying to explain why we do have Christmas. It's about these gifts that we do have. And so when we talk about God missing something from us, it is scriptural, and we're going to be looking at that. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Would you read that to me? Now? Okay. Samuel, this young guy. How old was he, does it say? A young. Hebrew word young here is from birth to 40. So all of you who are 40 and below, you're young. Young man. The historian Josephus was 12 years old when God laid his hand upon him for his prophetic call. How old was Jesus when he went into the temple and talked with the doctors? He was 12 too. You see, at age 12 in the Jewish tradition, that was the time that the boy became responsible for, accountable to the law. And so 12 is a good age. But it says here that Samuel ministered unto the Lord. So I say, well, what does that word minister mean? So I look it up for you, and here's what I found. It means to give aid or service. So what is ministering to the Lord other than just giving gifts to him? Giving gifts to him. Now, we all delighted in the gifts that we've received. So God delights in the gifts that we can receive. But you know, people, I feel that sometimes we might get a little, I'll use the word callous, in our feelings and in our attitudes and in our actions toward God and the way we treat him. And we may forget, and we may not be mindful that God has wants. He needs some things. Now you're saying, what in the world could God need? Doesn't he own it all? Scripture says that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, cattle up in north of Cayucas. He owns everything. Yes, he does own everything. But even as he owns everything, he doesn't have everything that we have available to give to him. So it's just that we get our gifts, and sometimes we don't like our gifts. And speaking of gifts, I might as well publicly state now, I did not get what I want for Christmas. And if you want to know what it was, see my wife. We can carry that farther. But I'm going to ask some of you just to stand up. Just stand up when I call upon you, and just say yes or no. All of you, look at the bulletin, will you? Look at your bulletin and turn it over to the back side. And some of you have a yellow dot. You have been chosen to stand and just say yes or no. Did I get what I want for Christmas? You have a yellow dot on the back of your bulletin? Then just stand up and say yes or no. I got a yes back there. Okay. Stay up, Mary. Yes or no? Thank you. Over here? Yes? I passed 4 yellow dots out. The missing dot. Anyway, we have to recognize that maybe God didn't get what he wants for Christmas too. You see, God does have needs. He has needs. And we may think of God in the same way. We may pray like to get from him, which is like most of our prayers. If God does own it all, what could he possibly need from me? You don't think too much of God needing anything. He's got all he needs. But someone said the cross is proof of that. The cross shows desperately how much God loves us and needs our love in return. He has given to us that gift. And I like the word gift in the Bible. For example, in Genesis, some of you don't remember the story of Abel. The word used is gifts. He brought his gifts. He brought his gifts to God. And the scripture says that God was pleased with his gifts. He accepted his gift. And people, I want us to give him some gifts. Maybe we have not been giving him so it will please the Father. We want to please him, just like you wanted to please your earthly parents or your earthly father. So here are some things, and I don't want you to be offended or think me irreligious, but here are some things that he wanted for Christmas, in fact, all year round. He needs your DNA, for example. Your DNA is different from the one sitting next to you, in front of you, or behind you. It works like this. One of you are thinking about this afternoon, game, or what you're going to be doing. Someone sitting next to you is soaking in God's word as I'm spreading it out like seed on spiritual soil. And the one that's not with us is not being able to accept what's being done next to them. In other words, you did, what's this, that phrase, I didn't eat your breakfast, something like that. You have got to be your own person who gives that gift to God. And God is looking, God is excited about the possibility that he can get some gifts from you this day. And the first gift is this. He needs praise. He needs praise. And I might say this, that the Bible does say, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. Let me repeat those words again. This is the relationship to God. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. So first of all, people, he needs praise. We all need praise. Husbands, you need to praise your wife more. Wives, you need to praise your husband more. Did I say that backwards? Husbands, praise your wives, and wives, praise your husband. Praise your children. Children, praise your parents. Praise your siblings. Praise is so important. Do you remember the last time somebody praised you? Did it cause a smile on your face, or inside or outside? Because you were lifted up by praise. We need God. God needs our praise. Because look at 1 Corinthians Chronicles 16:24. Would you read that to me? For great. You see, he is great. He's worthy of our praise, and he wants our praise. And in other words, he wants to be included in what we do, and what we do, we cannot take to ourselves. For example, years ago, before electronic equipment, when a person was playing an organ, for example, they would have somebody pump in the background and behind the organ. You've seen pictures or you know about it. Certainly none of you are that old to know that there were pump organs where people would just push. This lady did this great performance in the hall. When she finished playing, everybody just stood, gave her a standing ovation. They just applauded her. And she was soaking all this in, all this greatness that she had given to the people. And all of a sudden, she felt this tug on her dress, and she looked down, and here this little fella, 6 or 7 years old, and he's the guy that's in the back that's doing the pumping all the time so that she can have some wind to produce her singing. And here's what he said. He said, if he looked up to her, didn't we do a good job? Didn't we do a good job? God is wanting to do a good job through us, and so when he does, sometimes we forget to give him the praise. He needs our praise. That's what David says in Psalm 146:1, which you can read out loud to me, would you? Right, God is good. He needs our praise when things are good and when things are bad. He just wants our praise so much. But he wants another gift, people. And the second gift is probably the most important gift, and that's the gift of this. He needs to be loved. He needs to be loved. Yes, he first loved us, and for God so loved the world. You know that scripture, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This was the great gift that God gave to humanity that we have accepted, if we have accepted. He did this because he loves us. And when my children come to me, no matter how old they are, and I hug them and they hug me, it makes me feel so good to know that I'm loved and I love them. It makes me feel good. And the same way when our children have grandchildren, when we have grandchildren and we hold them, you know, they run and jump in Papa's lap or Nanny's lap. We don't say, I got something else to do right now. Come back at a later time. Or like the commercial many of you have seen, the guy comes home from work. He is just totally exhausted, exasperated. And when he opens the door, his little 5 or 6 year old child is right there saying, Daddy, Daddy. It's the best time of the day for the child, the worst for the daddy, but he takes, you know, et cetera, and he can do what he can do. The point is, our kids need our love. God, as we are kids, needs his kids' love. He needs our love very, very badly. But some haven't had that good father-child relationship, and so it does make a difference. 43 years ago, when Nancy and I got engaged, Nancy was living in a dormitory at the graduate school in New Orleans, and her house mother told her, Nancy, never let a day go by without telling your husband you love him. And she never has forgotten that, and she says it every day. And I tell her I love her. We tell our kids we love them. We like to hear that ourselves. But God in heaven wants us just to take time to say, I do love you. I do love you. In fact, the scripture says that once Peter was asked by Jesus, in fact, he was asked three times, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, sure, I love you, guy. Peter, do you love me? Second time, well, of course, you know I love you. And then the third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you really love me? And this made him very sad. He said, yes. And Jesus is asking every one of us, do you really love me? You say you do, but your attendance is not proof of that. Your giving is not proof of that. Your working for me, for God, is not even proof of that. What is proof is to have your ears hear your mouth say, I love you. About 10 years ago, at a board meeting in our church, a diaconate board meeting made up of men and women, deacons and deaconesses, when the meeting was over, I said, guys, I need to confess to you something. And so all they picked up their ears, you know, I've got to confess to you. And what I confessed to the board was, you know what? I think I love my wife more than I love God. Now think about that a moment. And I think that was probably true. Do we love what we see more than whom we do not see? He needs to be loved. He needs to be loved. Read Matthew 22, 37 and 38, would you? In word, I could say, let's just all say, I love you, Jesus, but it's so mechanical. But what I'd really like you to do is really motivate you this afternoon to say that out loud. You know, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Go to the bathroom and lock the door if you want to and say it. Or just say it out loud. And you know what? Something's going to happen to you when you say out loud. He's going to receive that 10-4. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The angels can do it. Certainly we can do it too. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind. This is the first and this is the greatest commandment. You see, he chose to love us first, and that's hard to fathom. It's hard to understand how he wants us to love him because he's got everything. I have known some wealthy men in my life. Nancy and I were pastor of the Beverly Hills Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan for a few years, and we knew some wealthy men, and reminded me of the guy who everybody said, you know, he's got it all. Oh, I just wish I could be like this guy because he has this and he has that and he does this and he does that. And some little kids were playing as kids do and got to the edge of town where this man was living. And they just sort of snoop around and look around, and they went to the side of the house where there was a detached garage, and they sort of got a little closer. And true story, they heard the guy weeping. And this, of course, astonished them, because why would the guy who has it all start be crying? But they actually heard him. In other words, the pain and the emotion of this guy was so great that he out loud had to say, I wish somebody loved me for me. I just wish somebody would love me for me. God's got it all, people. But he's saying, I just wish that you would just take the time to say, give me that gift. I do love you. But it seems that we're always trying to get and not to give. We can relate this in this way. In a family setting, there's a lot of love. In a family setting, there are gifts exchanged back and forth. But when we have God so far away, like this guy with the long beard and he's way up in heaven somewhere,
can too. I won't ever get back to my relatives. Okay, God has told us that we are his relatives, and that is really good. Isn't it cool to know that you are related to God Almighty? You are related to him. You're related to him. And this is one of the greatest needs of all humanity. It's the need of husbands and wives and children and all types of relationships just to love. And so I want to motivate you to tell Jesus that you do love him. And I'll say, would you? And you'll say, yes, I will. But third of all, he needs to feel wanted. You open up the San Luis Obispo paper and you go to the classified section and you find all the want ads. Go to the personals and you'll find people who are just crying out. They want to be wanted. Jesus wants to be wanted. He wants to be wanted in all of our plans. In other words, he wants to have us part of him. Like in Genesis 1:27, read that to me. Okay, we've been created in his image. In other words, there's some kind of a chemistry going on between you and God. Well, not the you that I see, because you're living in an earth suit, but the inside of you, the part of you that fits as tight to your skin as your hand would fit into a glove. That's the spiritual you that nobody ever sees. And then when you leave the earth suit here, you go on. That person that's inside of you wants this relationship to be so good. He wants to feel wanted. And we can respond to this community aspect of God's nature, because when he chose to create, he created a marriage, and he created man in his own image. This is ministering to God. It is ministering to God to say, you feel wanted, Jesus. Like last night, we had some friends come visit us with their children. They came in the front door. I didn't leave them in the foyer of the house. Stay here. We'll go back here and drink some coffee. I said, come on, and come on in. And it made them feel wanted. God wants to feel wanted. But I'm afraid that many of us are keeping God, let's just say we're keeping him in the living room instead of putting him in the family room or in the bedroom. He just wants to feel wanted all the time. And somebody said, you can't get holy without holiness. No one can see God, we're told. But we can sure feel him as we have that relationship with him. In other words, he wants us in our blue jeans. He wants us just to kick back with him. He wants to be wanted. And that's a present that we sometimes forget to give him. Well, the fourth present is this. It's he needs your presence. Now, this is different from feeling wanted. And here's why I say that. God is always with us. Agreed? And God says, I'm never going to leave you. Agreed? But we people can leave him. We can choose to leave him. And so the gift that he wanted last week, and he wants today, and he wants every day of the new year, is our presence. And that's why we read in Proverbs 18:24 this scripture. Read it to me. That's right. And then in Luke 22:42-43, Father, thank you. The scenario is this. Matthew and some of the other writers explain what happened. Jesus has brought his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they are with him in his presence, and he has their presence. But then he leaves them here, and then he goes down a way to pray. And he agonizes over this. He says, you know, God, I don't want to do what I think you're asking me to do. I don't want to do this. I don't want it. Well, so he goes back to his disciples, and some of you know what they were doing. What were they doing? They were sound asleep. Wakes them up, and he says, guys, couldn't you just stay awake for an hour? I've only been praying for an hour. So he goes back, and he prays again, and he goes back. And three times, the disciples are sleeping. They could have gone to Jesus, and they could have presented this gift of his presence, and it would have been so cool. It would have just been so great. But they just did not do that. In other words, the disciples blew it. Wouldn't it have been great if Jesus had been ministered to by his own friends? Jesus needed them. He needed their presence and concern and love. and yet they just were just sleeping. In other words, they missed ministering to Jesus. Now, Samuel ministered. God is asking us to minister to him. How do we minister? We give to him. We give him these gifts that we've mentioned. And you know, it just makes him feel so good to think that we are giving some thought to God. I mean, his name is being used all the time, wrongly. But we would use it rightly, and we would just bless him for what he was doing. Jesus needed the presence and the concern. He needed the love of these people. And yet they did not have him. And he was alone. And you know, I'm speaking to some people out here who are lonely right now. Widows or widowers, single people, you're living alone. I want you to know that you never need feel loneliness again as long as you know that Jesus is with you. And believe me, learning how to enjoy the Lord in your imagination is so good. He needs our presence. And I might add that ministering unto the Lord should come before working for the Lord. I say that to all. Well, to conclude like this, sounds strange? Read that, would you? What God wants for Christmas? Don't be offended. Read. I am aware of his greatness and majesty. I know he's the most high God to whom all reverence and respect is due. But people, he does get hurt, not only by the unsaved who reject him, but even by us who have received him. And you know, we do grieve him more than we know. It does sound strange to say that he does need us. But who's going to comfort the Lord? Angels? Well, sure, the angels are going to comfort him. They're 24/7 doing this with him, giving him these four presents. We, you know, when we feel like it, or maybe if we're asked to, or perhaps motivated to, as we are now. He needs us. And when we get a taste of this, and when we get his response in our soul, we will be very glad that we gave Jesus what he wanted for Christmas and throughout the year, making it Christmas Day every day. Now, I speak of two gifts. Jesus has given us this great gift, and we speak of the gifts that we would like to give him. Look at this slide, and this is what it looked like in most of your homes the day before Christmas, right? What's under the tree? Can't tell. Presents. Presents are under the tree. Well, it is distorted. Like, okay. This is the picture before Christmas. This is the picture after Christmas. Now, what's the difference? No what? No presents. But people, let me tell you, there is one gift that is still waiting at the tree. The tree is the cross. The gift is salvation. And there's a place for you to put your name. This is the waiting gift at the tree. Let's bow and pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you that we have opportunities to also give back to you. And for we who are saved, it would be our prayer like, God, I'm going to fulfill your need for praise. I am going to fulfill your need to be loved. I'm going to fulfill your need to be wanted. I'm going to fulfill the need of your presence. And with your eyes closed and your head bowed, I'm going to ask, because there are some here who've never, ever experienced the gift of salvation. And if you're here and you never have reached for that gift at the foot of the tree, which is the cross, would you just, and you want to do it right now, would you just look up at me, give me your eyes, just make eye contact, and I can respond to that. Okay? It's possible that I did see two of your eyes. Jesus, I pray your blessing upon those people. And I ask in Jesus' name that they would respond just by agreeing with and saying in their mind this prayer, Jesus, I come to the cross and I do receive. I receive a free gift of salvation. I give my heart to you. I will let you be my Lord and my Master. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we all stand up? I just wanted to bring one thing up that I was thinking about while Neil was talking, and that was something we all saw, which is the mic stopping, guitar strings breaking, things just not going so great, kind of rough and everything. And I just kind of looked on it for a moment, and I thought I'd share this with you. And I kind of smiled because I just really believe that we are a threat to Satan here. And it's just funny. It's kind of pathetic that he has to break our toys, but I just thought I'd bring that up and share that with you. It's something to rejoice about, really. So let's sing this together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born in the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my soul, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior. You guys do. Blessed assurance, Lord, of my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
God bless you, and may the love and the joy and the peace and the happiness of God be with you as you go from this place. May you know that He's already there where you are going, and that He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you. Amen. If you want prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Any type of your needs, we invite you to come forward, and we will pray for you. God bless.